Ready? Yeah. Let's do this thing. Get ready to be talked at for the next 30 minutes. No, it's this morning as we were praying this, as we kind of did our like pre-church prayer, I'm trying to figure out what emotion I'm feeling right now. So if I like just like start crying in the middle of today, just know that I'm okay. All right, everything's cool. Or if I start laughing just uncontrollably, that too is normal, you know. So if anything like that happens, if I run out, then that's definitely abnormal. So if that happens, somebody has to get me. That's right. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's at least start there, get that going. And as I was prepping for today, the question that kind of came to my mind is, how in the heck did I end up here doing this for the last year? What was the catalyst that made it so that we're all here today? Why T and I kind of felt this kind of drive, or I don't even know what the word to say, but why I'm, you know, the pull, or why we leaned into this interim time. And it really started back for T and I back in March of 2015. And it started with Stephen, which I was going to put a picture of him on the screen, but do we have a picture of him? I'm sure we got something. No, well, it's okay. It started with Stephen and I and Tiffany. We were at La Playa, which if y'all are from Antique, you know where that's at. So we had lunch with Stephen, and we're like, you know, really cordial, like, you know, what's going on and stuff like that. And then he decides to drop this, like, bombshell in a public place while we're eating food. And he says, hey, I'm thinking about going to be the executive director of the Brethren Church. My name came in, kind of, they pulled the name out of the hat, and I kind of think I want to do this. And for all those who aren't very brethren, the executive director is kind of the person who's in charge of, like, the vision casting, kind of like the grand poopah, so to speak, of our denomination. So he would have to have moved from sunny California to balmy Ohio. So that would have been a no for me right away. But as yeah, that's him right there. Sideways. It all started with this guy. You know, no, can't flip it? No, that's cool. And so an interesting time for T and I happened just right around that same time, too, is we went to Ashland, Ohio, and we kind of made a little mini vacay out of it, and we went to Canada. And we spent that time kind of discerning who we were as Jesus followers, what we were trying to do with our church plan and still doing today. You know, we sat there on the long roads. There's this road in New York, right when you pass in New York, it's like straight for days, and you can only go like 55 miles an hour on. So there's a lot of talking time. For those who haven't driven on that road and have driven to Sister or Bend, Oregon, you know that part of the road when you leave Klamath Falls and it's straight for days, you can only go like 50 miles an hour and you can't pass? It's just like that. So you could, you know, during that road trip, T and I were like talking, do we move? Do I sell my business? What it is we were trying to figure out? And do I become the pastor of Northgate Community Church? But at the same time, over here, there's been this Zayo thing that's kind of been growing and being birthed out of the passion of T and I. Do we just like forget all of that? And then we thought silly. We said, hey, maybe we could just do both at the same time. What if I could be the pastor of Northgate and then still do church planting on the side, or kind of keep them all equal? And that quickly got extinguished from my buddy Bill, who said, you would die. You would die. Your family would suffer. All the ministries would suffer. But we just spent that whole time, and we spent from March all the way to probably June or July when Stephen kind of told everybody, trying to wrestle with what it is that we were supposed to do. And we were really in this spot of like, so what now? And I don't really know exactly what happened. It was all a fog to me. And I don't know if I was talking to Gary Deal, which kind of does, he helps churches in the denomination transition from for finding other pastors. I could have been talking to Daniel, and I could have been talking to Stephen, but there was this kind of pull that said, well, maybe, just maybe, we could just do this temporarily. Because there was all these things in my life that I was like, you know, we could bring somebody from the outside, but they don't. I worked with Stephen for the last 5 years trying to get things going and rolling here. I feel like maybe I could be the temporary. The word temporary was very, very important in that particular role. And then I thought, this would be a piece of cake. T and I were like, you know, we got a pretty good team. What could possibly go wrong? And I don't know if you saw on my Instagram feed this morning of like my first sermon ever preached and my last one, but I go back and I look at that picture of myself and I go, man, that dude didn't have a clue. Did not have a clue. Because the reality for T and I during the beginning parts and throughout this entire process is pastoral ministry, any ministry inside the church is really tough. Is really, really tough. For me personally, I thank you guys all for allowing me to sometimes like go all over these sermons, but I really appreciate y'all listening during these times, because there had been times during this process where it felt like we were alone, like nobody could possibly understand the things that we were going through. This idea of a deep spiritual toll on our lives individually and our family life, that's for reals. That the energy used to sit and prepare something like this, to get up and talk, which, you know, comes fairly easy to me because I got like 50,000 words a day, you know, kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it could take it out of you. And there's this passage in Luke, and this is all hindsight. Hindsight's always 20/20. But there's this passage in Luke where the crowds came to Jesus, and the crowds are trying to push Jesus into doing something he didn't do. And right off the gate, right out of the gate, the crowds became to get really loud in my life. They became to get louder and louder, telling me what to do. And as quickly as I started this interim process, again, the picture, if you go on Instagram, as quickly as I started this, I called Daniel. Yeah, that's me up there, and that's me at the bottom. Yeah, that's exactly how it feels. And one night I called Daniel. I said, Daniel, I can't do this. There's no way I'm going to be the interim pastor. I have no skills. I am untrained. I have no clue what I'm doing. And he was like, all right, cool. And we tried to find somebody for like 6 weeks or something like that. I was still preaching. But at the same time, though, it just didn't seem to be working out. It was like all this time, God was telling me, no, you need to see this through. And early on when we were probably one of the first executive board meetings that we had, I was praying before one of the meetings, and this word came to my mind called growth. And I got to thinking, all right, God, this is kind of neat. Like, North Gate's going to grow during this time. Like, all right, because most of the times when you go through a pastoral transition, people leave, attendance goes down, giving goes down, everything just kind of goes all haywire. But then now I know it's not necessarily Northgate's going to grow, but I'm going to grow, and we're all going to grow spiritually during this process. Community's going to grow and become to get stronger. And then I asked for a second chance to the executive board, and here we are on my last sermon. That was months and months and months ago. And so when I was trying to figure out, okay, so what do you possibly say on your last sermon? What possible wisdom and guidance and all kinds of stuff can you give to a group of people like this? And I said, well, let's find it in Timothy. So what we're going to do is this passage of Scripture is a reality for T and I. This passage of Scripture kind of walks through what our beginning ministry looked like, both with Zao Church and church planting, but also being the interim pastor here at Northgate. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. And it's kind of cool, kind of funny, but my heading, I don't know if y'all have, this is the New Living Translation, so if you have like a digital book or something like that, you could switch to that. But the title of chapter 3 actually is Difficult Times for Christian Service. Amen to that. So let's go ahead and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. It says, "But you, Timothy, certainly know that I teach, know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from it all. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish, and they will deceive others and will themselves be deceived." So if you don't know a whole lot about Timothy and who he was like this young whippersnapper pastor guy. And for me, I kind of like relate to him because he's kind of like in his 30s from what we know about him. But he's this like wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, like taking the church by storm kind of guy. And it's kind of neat because if you know Paul and Timothy's relationship, Paul didn't have any kids. So Timothy not only Paul wasn't a mentor to Timothy, but they were more like father and son. And he's kind of giving Timothy words of wisdom for Christian service. You know, he goes off and saying you got to have faith, patience, love, and endurance. But something I think gets hidden in the beginning part of this chapter, because these are really great. We could talk about these all day long. You got to have faith that God will provide for the things that you need. You got to have patience because you know what? This life is not full of patience. People are going to want to break those boundaries that you have in your life. You got to have love. And this word love is that agape love. Like you got to have love for everybody. Love for the people that are on the outskirts or on the margins. You have to be willing to die for these people. But you also have to have this endurance that only God can give. But you got to have something else whenever you do Christian ministry, whenever you do anything really in life successfully, is you kind of have to have this idea of purpose. And if we were to read the beginning part, because it goes really quick, it says, verse 10, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is." Because you need this purpose, because when public opinion, when the crowds begin to get too loud, when it feels like people are driving you away from your peace, when they cause divisions, when this psychological game inside your head starts going where it says, you don't know enough, you could barely talk, you've never done this consecutively more than 4 times. That the only thing that will keep me from drowning, that would keep me focused is this purpose and this desire that God put in my heart when the times get tough. And that's totally true with T and I. We've seen that through our church plant, and that's why they have you go through all of these, evaluations, because they want to make sure that what it is that you're doing is really truth in your life. And again, it's this deep down satisfaction that when you know what it is that you're doing is the thing that you were made to do. Again, I just go back to this last year. It hasn't been super easy on myself and for Tiffany. I tell you what, I've cried more this last year than I've ever cried in my life. The ideas of depression and anxiety, y'all, we've talked about this before, but I'm fairly an anxious person. This just kind of exaggerated it during this time, these games that we play. Again, I get self-conscious really easily, believe it or not, of my speaking ability, of my knowledge. Do I even know enough of this Bible to even be worthy enough to bring it on Sunday mornings? But at the end of the day, when I was at like the low part of during this process, I still felt God saying, you need to see this through, that you should not give up that this remember that time when I spoke to you before that executive board meeting and that word growth came to mind. You need to be able to trust me. It's like saying it's not going to be easy, but it will pay off. And then the second half of Timothy, we're going to see just kind of what this payoff is. What does it look like when you push through all of the humanness of this world? What is the payoff that we can receive, that we can look forward to? What's going to make these sleepless nights and worries grant me? So let's go ahead and continue reading. Verse 14. Through 17. It says, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So I like this contrast. There's this, stuff's going to happen in your life, but if you move through it, you get to experience something. When you're faithful in his word, when you're faithful to follow him, you get something at the end of it. And it was kind of interesting. I was thinking back when it talks about, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. It kind of reminded me thinking, like, what were some of the things that T and I had been faithful in this year? And it was kind of interesting because right at the right time, I got this text from this guy, Steve. And it was at a really rough part in our relationship, but just in our ministry. And he said, hey, we're starting this growth group by Crossroads. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Can you even go to other churches' small groups? Is that even like a thing? Like that was probably like the biggest thing in my, like, was struggling with that. I was like, I don't know anybody who's ever done that before. And the answer is yes. Yes, you can. And again, that happened right at the right time. My insecurities of like, well, I don't really want to go to another small group. I don't want to be accountable with people that I don't know. That's not. But it was kind of neat, though, because during the small group, I got to know the Thompsons better. And by getting to know Steve a little better, you get a few more tattoos as well. Not only that, I got to meet the Albrechts, and it would seem that, they're pretty cool and all, but these relationships like Brent and I, man, I tell you what, like, I feel like we lived parallel lives up until this point. Like, how does God orchestrate all that? I could not have planned any of that. I even got to know Brian Hunt, the pastor, the new pastor at Crossroads, and I sort of knew going in that, because I think y'all told me, and that was probably, if going to another person's small group, you know, raised some questions in my heart, having the lead pastor of Crossroads, I was like, I don't really know, because, you know, I'm really skeptical of pastors. They are shady people. But my hard heart and questionable heart melted away as I got to meet Brian and hear his story and hear his heart for his people and his congregation and for what the transformation that he wants to see in this community. Again, it just kind of seemed like, all right, I think we're supposed to do this. And we just kind of did it. And again, there had been countless other times where we have kind of trusted God in faith during this time, that it just seems to be unbelievable. And then I got to thinking about Northgate during this time. How have been the times that we've been faithful? Earlier this year, we commissioned the Yetters to kind of their commission to do their own ministry through the church planting network through Zao Church. And I don't know if you know this, but that's kind of a big deal to take somebody who's here in our community and say, all right, we trust that you trust Jesus to do something great in your community. And the fruit and the life that gets is being impacted in their little street just a couple blocks away is awesome. We were faithful with the leadership here. We commissioned Denise to spearhead the children's ministry. Again, that took time. That took discernment. It took adaptability. And there's cool things that come out of that. We were faithful during this pastoral transition. We all kept the ship afloat. We'll get to everybody else here in a little bit too. Because again, during a pastoral transition, bad stuff happens. People get a little nervous, they get questioning, is the new guy going to be the guy? Is he going to want to come in and change a bunch of stuff? But no, we were faithful. We sought it through. We asked some tough questions. And this last verse, the last verse, verse 17, for me sums everything up. Everything that has led from March of last year to today to July 31st to the first time Miles preaches in August. Let me get to it here. It says, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So it's kind of like saying, I know you went through a tough time, but I'm faithful. Are you ready? Northgate, you made it through and you are stronger as a community. Are you ready? Are you ready for your purpose and your faithfulness to pay off? And again, with the Larsons arriving in just a few short weeks, the fruits of our labor will not be in vain. The work that we had done, the diligence, the faith, the perseverance, the love for each other will pay off. Because everything that we went through is leading up to these moments. So are we ready? Are our hearts ready to receive the Larsons? Again, the question I wrote here says, what could that possibly look like? And the best answer that I could possibly have thought of was like, I don't know. I don't know, because I don't want to put a cap on the greatness that God can do with us here individually, for us here at Northgate, for us here in Manteca, and for the rest of the world. I want to just live in that as God reveals it. So then for us today, for everybody else, the family members and friends who's not necessarily connected to Northgate, but this, everybody here, is a culmination, is the epicenter, the crescendo, the fruit of the journey of this, of a small church here on this corner. And that for some of you, I didn't even know existed prior to a year ago. And some of you, I've grown together in faith and in community, that we were all part of this greater story that God wants to reveal in our lives. And for that, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for allowing Tiffany and I to process as we go in the fire, this interim thing, not really knowing what the heck we're doing. I just want to say thank you for that. So I have a little thing here I'm going to read, and then we'll figure out what the heck we're going to do after that. So, and with that, I want to say thanks. I want to thank my wife, who took more on in this season than any other person than I know. It was not easy, me being away and preparing for all these sermons and meeting with people, but I love you more than you know. I want to thank the executive board and the congregation for believing in me not once but twice, for allowing an unlicensed, unordained, barely qualified Jesus follower to be your interim pastor for a year. The opportunity has stretched and expanded my view of God and his creation. And again, that always just goes to show that you don't have to be some ordained person to do good work in the kingdom, that God uses normal, everyday people to do the good work. I also want to thank the leadership team. That would be Kim, Kathleen and Jean, Denise, Carla and Melissa, Dave and Dorothy, for helping me, helping aid in the day-to-day operations, for helping get things done and doing the background work is the engine that keeps the boat afloat. I thank you for that. Thank you for giving up your time and your energy and sometimes your money to help with what we're doing around here. Dorothy's not in here, right? No? Okay. Well, I want to specifically thank Dorothy. And I want everybody here to know that I'm thanking her. And if you don't know, she's my mother-in-law. But as the church secretary, she constantly busted my chops to keep me on track, you know, coming over like at 6 o'clock and asking like random church questions when, you know, she could have taken care of it like tomorrow in an email or something like that. But I want to say thank you, Dorothy, for keeping me on the right path. I also want to thank Dave for filling in preaching during the times that I was out of town. I appreciate your willingness to give the word at a moment's notice. I want to give the biggest, well, not the biggest, because my wife got the biggest, so second biggest thank you to Daniel for taking on the role of the pastoral search committee. And I think I remember when we talked about that, you were slightly apprehensive about doing that at first. But I thank you for your diligence and discernment, because without that, I'd probably still be here for another year, and then that just would not be great. I want to thank all the rest of my family, all my friends, all my new friends for supporting T and I during this time, for not being able to make it to things, for doing ministry work, for being able to just love on us when we needed to be loved on. I thank everybody for that. I want to thank you for helping us process, dream, struggle with, make mistakes, giving grace, and understanding what it is that we were supposed to do, living into this purpose that T and I feel called to do. So, there you go. That's it. That's all I got. So as the worship team comes on up, one of the big questions that I oftentimes get asked, but I guess I don't quite vocalize or articulate it very well, is what's next for T and I, what it is that we're doing, where are we going. I've committed to Miles that I'm going to keep my moderatorship until it runs out. So basically at the end of 2017, my decision-making process and input here at Northgate goes to like zero, but we're not going anywhere. We're sticking around. We have Zao Church here in town. I don't know what that's going to look like. I think God's going to be doing some crazy stuff there. And I'm just going to, like as I have discovered this past year, is I'm just going to leave the rest up to God, and I'm just going to walk into that. Lean into that, press into that, whatever you want to use for that. So, again, I thank you very much. Again, I'll be around, so, yeah, thank you. There's There you go. I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then I'll have you all take it away. So Heavenly Father, again, I just come before you, Lord, as a humble servant, Lord. I just thank you for this, for your Spirit nudging and pressing and pushing me into this, even when I felt unsure about it. Lord, I pray that we would walk our lives in a way that we would realize our purpose and then live into the good that comes from that. Lord, I thank you for the tough times, because everything in your scripture always starts with something tough. But then there's always this reward, not monetarily or commercially or anything like that, Lord, but it's just this deeper understanding of you and our place in this universe. And I thank you for that. Lord, I just want to thank you for the congregation here. They put up with all my nerd and geek references and stuff like that. Lord, I thank you for that. May we continue to be people who want to follow after you as we kind of walk in your presence, Lord. That we would be people on a move, that we'd be people like the wind, that we'd be carried away by you. And I just thank you for this, and I just pray this in your name. Amen.